Good morning, everybody. As Pastor Jeff told me a little earlier, now that I'm installed, he's not going to welcome me. So today we're talking about the resurrection, right? That's the significance of the difference between Good Friday and Sunday. Because on Good Friday, right, is when Christ died on the cross. And then on Sunday is when he comes back from the dead. So as Christians, we all come on Sunday and we believe that Christ came back from the dead. We believe in a resurrection of Christ, right? We don't say that he's still in the tomb. We don't say that it didn't happen. But we believe in an actual, for real resurrection, or else we're kind of wasting our times. But in the Bible, back in the church of Corinth, when Paul wrote the church of Corinth, there's a lot of problems with that church. And one of the main problems within that church was people were denying the resurrection. And there's some various reasons you can kind of argue. Back in the day, there's a lot of Greek philosophy with dualistic natures, where they thought bodies are good, spirits are good, bodies are bad. And so they believe that when you die, your spirit is probably immortal, it goes on. But your body, you don't get a new body, whatever, bodies are bad. And so there's some Greek philosophy, some various things like that, that went on during the time. And there are people within the church of Corinth that are saying, hey, Jesus didn't come back from the dead. You know, the resurrection is a spiritual resurrection. We're spiritually reborn. There is no physical rebirth. It's merely spiritual. And so within this context of people teaching against the resurrection, Paul writes 1 Corinthians 15. And it's a great chapter. So Paul's writing against resurrection deniers. And people were saying, there is no resurrection of the dead. There is no resurrection of believers. Either the spirit just goes on and lives off, you know, floating around in clouds like in Care Bears. Or, you know, there is no resurrection. Either that, maybe when you die, life ceases. You know, it's kind of like the modern, purely scientific viewpoint of life. It's that when you die, your body goes in the ground, your molecules get mixed in with other stuff, and so on and so on. There is no resurrection of a new body, you know. So either you totally die and you're gone forever, or maybe your spirit just lives on forever. But they denied the idea that there was a resurrection, a new body, coming to believers. And so Paul writes this chapter, and it's a really amazing treatise if you read it. He gives like multiple arguments. He's like just like destroying the arguments against the resurrection. And we come to, the question is that these people were denying the resurrection. They were saying, they were teaching people, there is no resurrection. Either they're teaching it's a spiritual resurrection, not a physical one, or they're just flat out denying there is no resurrection. The people were just teaching that within the church. There were those people that are, you know, bad eggs teachers. And so, although they were teaching it with their words, saying there is no resurrection, and I would imagine that all of you would acknowledge there is a resurrection of the body with your mouth. The question is, does your life reflect that teaching? When you say, I believe, you know, when he did the Apostles' Creed, and in that, one of the lines is the resurrection of the body. In the creed, we believe that there is a resurrection of the body. And although we say it, the question is, do we live out this resurrection? Do we live with the fact that there is a resurrection coming in the future? And Paul writes 1 Corinthians 15, 16 to 19, telling the Corinthian church, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. If there is no resurrection, then Jesus didn't come back from the dead, right? That's a pretty simple argument. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. So Paul says, if Christ did not come back from the dead, then it's all a waste. You're still in your sins. If Jesus died and didn't come back, then he was just some crazy guy that said all sorts of crazy stuff, right? Because if Jesus said that he's the Son of God, and then he gets killed, and he just stays dead, then what's the obvious logical conclusion? That he was just some crazy guy, right? So if Christ wasn't resurrected, then all that stuff about saving people, forgiving sins, all that stuff was garbage. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. So Christ didn't come back from the dead, and if people don't come back from the dead, those people who say they're Christians that who have died, they're perished, they're lost, it's game over, right? There is no reset button, they don't have any extra lives. It's over. So those Christians who died, if Jesus didn't come back from the dead, then we're not saved and forgiven. And then the people who have died who are Christians, they're lost. It's over. And then Paul writes, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Think about it. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. That is that if your hope in Christ is only on this life, for those people that were teaching, you can have Jesus Christ, but he didn't come back from the dead and there is no resurrection. For those people, if your hope in Christ is only on this life, we are the most pitied people on the earth. The idea is that if we only think of God and Jesus Christ as help and hope in this life only, we're pitiful. Think about it. Because think about it, Christians also die, right? When we get to 80, 90, 100, or the oldest guy just died like a couple weeks ago. He's like 114 years old, the oldest man in the world, just recently died. 114 years. They all die. We all will die. Think about it. And it's kind of macabre to think about it, but that is the truth. And think about it. If the glory and the gifts and the grace and all that stuff that God gives us are only for this life only and not for another life past that, then we're pitied. Think about it. If a relationship with Jesus Christ ends when you die when you're 80 or 15 or 20 or 90 or whatever, think about it. What a waste that would be. If God's grace only extends to you this side of the grave, that's pretty pitiful, isn't it? That's pretty weak. But the thing is, a lot of times, we sometimes live out like that, don't we? A lot of times, we live our lives as if God can only bless us in the here and the now for things that affect us on this earth right at this very moment. Although we say we believe in the resurrection, we do not always act like it. And I'm not, pointing fingers. Like, whenever I make a sermon, I always think of stuff that really touches me and that really hits me hard. And this question really hit me hard, too. Does my life reflect a resurrection of the body in the future? Does my life really reflect the fact that Christians will come back from the dead in the end times? Or do I live my life as if there is no resurrection and that all that God has to offer me, I can only take it right now? Do you act like a pre-disaster stockpiler? That's like the best illustration I could think of. See, I grew up in Florida, and in Florida we have hurricanes all the time. And for some reason, like almost every year, there's always like, there's a hurricane, it's going to come hit Tampa Bay, and then like the weather guy will show like a map, and always the hurricane line like goes right through my city, And you're like, oh, nuts. And then always afterwards, though, the hurricane always misses at the last second. It's pretty funny because everybody like, a hurricane's going to hit here, so let's go here. And then ends up the hurricane turns and hits there. It's happened several times. But the thing is, when a hurricane comes, unlike a tornado or an earthquake, a hurricane, you have time to prepare. It'll be like, this hurricane will hit in about 3 or 4 days. This hurricane will go through Tampa Bay. And so what happens during that time is that people go crazy. They start buying all sorts of stuff. News footage is always like, look at how empty these grocery store shelves are. There's no bread. There's no water. There's no food in any of the shelves. And then there's like lines at the gas station. And all these gas stations close down because people are going crazy. Like, once a hurricane hits, there's no more, I can't drive anywhere. What if we need to leave the city? So everybody goes to the gas station. They fill up gas tanks. They fill up their generators. They go crazy. And so they get all the gas they can. They go to the grocery store, get all the food they can. They go to Lowe's or Home Depot and load up on lumber and wood so they can board up their windows, right? And board up their doors and just go crazy and just board up everything. So before the disaster, people are just grabbing like crazy. And it's pandemonium. If you watch the news, like, you guys don't have hurricanes here, so you guys don't know the action. But it's really crazy. Even if you're just going out to get regular stuff, you got to fight hordes of people going crazy. But I think a lot of times we act a little like pre-disaster stockpilers. Although we're not stockpiling on bread and water, I hope. Sometimes we stockpile other things. If you think about in your life, what is it that you stockpile? What is it that you're always chasing after? As if down the line you won't get a chance to get it. Because with the people with the pre-disaster mindset is, oh my goodness, if I don't get this bread now, if I don't get this water now, once the hurricane hits, I can't get bread, I can't get water. I can't get gasoline. I can't get these things. So I need to get it now because after the storm, it's game over. So I need it right now. So they're all going crazy for it. And a lot of times, I think sometimes in our lives, we act a little like that. Hey, if I die when I'm 90 or 100 or 1,000, I don't know, whatever. I'm going to die in the future. So I better get all the stuff I can right now, right? Because once I die, I can't really get that later on, can I? A lot of times we have the mindset of, we need it right now, right? So we look for fame, we look for fortune, we look for wealth, we look for status, we look for pleasure, we look for all these things in the here and the now, as if we won't get any of it on the other side. And I think that's a pretty good illustration for a lot of us, because people, their goals and what they're looking for is always things that are just here and now, right? For a lot of people, it's always like, I need to make as much money as possible now. If I don't get a big house now, I'll never have a chance later on. If I don't have this or that, in the future, I'll never have it. Although nobody says that, a lot of times I think we think that. right? I better store up on the here and now, because once death comes, I don't know. And I think a lot of us don't actively think that, but a lot of us act like it. If people were to see Christians nowadays, what do you think the Christians are storing up? Because a lot of times, I'm guilty of this too sometimes, is that when people see Christians, they see people that are just like other people, right? We're always, you know, the slogan of, you only have one life to live, might as well live it. Hey, you know, you only have this life to live, you might as well make the most out of it. And I think a lot of us act like that. We always chase after these things as if once we die, the end, you know, the resurrection and the end times are going to be super boring, right? It's going to be boring in heaven, so I better do as much as I can to make this thing all fun and games, you know? And I think a lot of us have this mentality in our brains. So I want you to consider in your life, what are the things that you're stockpiling? What are the things that you're hoarding? What are the things that you're chasing for in this life? And what are those things will actually last in the future? How many of those things will be there at the resurrection? One example could be when the people built this church. It cost a lot of money, right? It cost a lot of money to build such a big building, to buy a big lot, to spend all this money to invest it on this thing. But when the people did it, the reality is they know that it's not going to be the resurrection, right? When I get to the resurrection, I'm not going to be like, hey, it's Pastor Jeff, hey, it's Sonny, hey, it's the church, you know? The church building isn't going to be there at the resurrection. The church building is going to burn down or break down or get torn down. Something is going to happen in the future. But the people that built this church know that although the building won't be here, the people that come to this church and they listen to the word of God and they get saved, they'll be at the resurrection. The believers that equip people, that end up teaching other people, that end up leading people to Christ, those people that get led to Christ, they'll be at the resurrection. So the people that built this church know that this is an investment in the future. If you think about it last week too, when Jana preached about following God, was it? I think last week, she preached about following Jesus, right? And an abundant life. But notice that when she talked about the abundant life, it wasn't stuff in the here and now. It was about following Jesus, obeying Jesus, and focusing on Jesus. Those things that will be there in the future for us at the resurrection, right? When you obey Jesus, you're going to cast away a lot of the things of the earth and follow him. Because if you build a relationship with Jesus, you're going to see him on the other side. So that relationship does continue on. When you work on the kingdom and work for the kingdom, those works will be there in the kingdom. So my question for you all right now is, what are the things in your life that you're chasing for, that you're working for, that you're going for? Is it things that are in this life or things that have value in the next life? Because if you only work on this life stuff, you're essentially telling other people, hey, you know, there is a resurrection, but it's not really that great. So you better kind of, you know, do the good stuff now, you know, get the good stuff now. Because once you get there, it's going to be kind of terrible. Is that the message that a lot of us are telling other people through our actions? And then later on in the chapter, 1 Corinthians 15:30-34a, Paul asked, why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I am in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? So Paul's saying, if there is no resurrection of the dead, why am I wasting my time? Right? Paul says, why are we in danger every hour? If you read the book of Acts and some of the books that Paul writes, he talks about all these people that are always opposing him. Right? In one church, they actually got dragged out of the church and beaten. Paul got stoned and they left him for dead. Right? They thought that he killed him. Not like, ooh, we'd love to leave him alive. He's been beaten multiple times. Right? In the ancient Roman times, the belief was, you can get hit 40 times. 40 times, number 40 is death stroke. So let's beat a guy 39 times. So he's not dead, but almost dead. So Paul's had to go through that a couple of times. He's been shipwrecked. He got bit by a snake, you know. All these crazy things happen to Paul, and he says, if there's no resurrection, why am I doing all this crazy stuff? Why am I wasting my time, you know? Why am I putting myself in danger all the time if there is no resurrection? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And that's like an old proverb that I think a lot of us have this kind of mentality nowadays. And he's giving a quotation from Isaiah, where it's preaching against people that are doomed. You guys are doomed. You might as well eat and drink and just have a great time because you're going to die anyways. And I think a lot of us have that kind of mentality. Well, I'm going to die eventually. I might as well have all the fun, all the joy, and all the great stuff right now because I'm going to die someday. And instead, Paul's saying, hey, I'm sacrificing myself. I'm giving up all this great stuff in my life right now because I believe there's a better life ahead. I believe that the things that I'm storing up right now I'm going to see even better in the future. You know, that's the mentality. I think a lot of us, again, we don't say that there's no resurrection. We don't say, hey, I don't believe that Jesus didn't come back from the dead. I don't believe there's no resurrection of the dead. But with our actions, a lot of times, we tell people, you know, I believe in a resurrection, but I'm gonna get the best out of this life as I can, you know? And Paul says, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And so I think you could reverse that. You could say, is your life, let us eat and drink, tomorrow we die? Which leads, you know, if you get backwards, then that means there's no resurrection. Is that your life? Is that your lifestyle? Honestly, think about it. You know, I can't make any judgments for people. Only God can, and yourself, to decide, is that your mindset? Is that your life? Is it just, hey, I'm living this life right now, and I'm going to die. I might as well get the most I can out of this life, you know, because I'm not going to have a chance in the future. And then Paul says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. And Paul took an old, kind of like a slogan back in the day. He's preaching against the bad teachers. Don't be tricked. These people are polluting the church. And of course, the valid question is, although none of us are verbally saying there is no resurrection, with our lives, how are we teaching the younger Christians? For all the older Christians, if you've been a Christian for a year or 2 years or 10 years, how does your life reflect the resurrection teaching to a new Christian, to a six-month-old Christian, a brand-new believer, a one-year-old Christian? How does your life reflect that? Because Paul says, bad company ruins good morals. And another translation is, bad company ruins good character. That is that people who live out or teach bad theology and bad doctrine are going to mess up people. And I think a very important question that all of us have to ask ourselves is, are we that bad company? Are we the person that's teaching bad doctrine? Are we teaching bad theology through our lives to the younger Christians? And it's a very compelling, it's one of those things that really hits you. It's a really convicting point to ask. And then Paul writes, wake up from your drunken stupor as is right, and do not go on sinning. That is that, hey, the resurrection is real. Don't live like it's not. And wake up, right? These people are living a lie. A lot of these people are living what's not real. And Paul says, hey, wake up, guys. Hey, stop living like this. And wake up and do what you're supposed to do. And as you can see, that's really tough, though, isn't it? In this world where all the commercials are about enjoy life now, do it now in this world. All the advertisements, the commercials, the products, everything is just now. Enjoy your life now. Enjoy it right now. Right? And we have America, which is supposed to be a Christian country, but we lead the world in just commercialism, materialism, and enjoying the here and now. And of course, that's well and good, bad, whatever for America, but the question is, in your own personal life, do you reflect that mentality? Do you have the let us drink and eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die? Or do you have a, you know what, this life is cool, but I got a better one coming up there, so I'm going to put my stock in that one, you know what I mean? I'm going to invest my effort, my time, my money, my goals, my dreams, my thoughts. I'm going to invest those on something that's going to last forever and not something that lasts for only a couple years. And so Paul, if there is no resurrection, it's a pretty simple argument. If there is no resurrection of the dead, Paul's sacrifices of this life's pleasures that do not help this life are meaningless. See, that's what Paul's writing. If us Christians are honestly living out the resurrection, then when we spend all our time thinking about the future, we're wasting our time. That's why we're pitiful, right? Like, imagine somebody who spends all their time worshiping God and praying, and, you know, they give up a lot of their earthly pleasures for heavenly ones, and then when they die, and that's it. You're going to go, wow, dude, what a loss. That's such a waste. But the fact that, you know, if there is no resurrection, we can just live this life then, you know? Because if we live this life and there is no resurrection, there's no point of sacrificing for the future. We just live right now. But Paul writes, but there is a resurrection. So all those things that Paul sacrificed for in this life, he's going to get back tenfold in the next life, you know? When Jesus writes about how people that give up land, give up family, give up all this stuff, you're going to get it tenfold, a hundredfold in the future. So we should live this life in view of the next. Because this life, the pleasures will last, what, like 80 years maybe? 100 years tops, you know? Maybe 120, I don't know what science is going to do. But the pleasures in this life, the things that we can get in this life, how long do they last? Not very long. But instead we should be sacrificing for the future, where all the things that we get in the future last eternity, forever. I mean, that's just, you know, if you're like, for all those businessmen out there, how many of you would invest something with a 1-to-1 ratio? And how many of you would invest slightly in the future for one an infinite ratio? You know what I mean? If you can invest in something, put money in something, put time in something, that'll bring back a gajillion fold of your effort. I mean, think about that. Because there is a resurrection. Christ came back from the dead. Therefore, we will come back from the dead. So some final thoughts, some questions to ask you all. Does your life deny or assert the resurrection? If somebody who's an outsider saw the way that you live, at home, at school, at work, or whatever, what would they think? Would they think, wow, this guy's really living it up? I guess, you know, the best blessing of Jesus Christ is a happy life right now, hey, you know? Or when they see your life, are they going to go, wow, why is this guy giving up all this great stuff right here? Why is he giving up this stuff? Is there something better that he's waiting for in the future? Why is he giving it up? Maybe I want to learn about this guy, this Jesus that he worships. I mean, which one are you? Does your life teach that there is no resurrection, or does your lifestyle teach that there is a resurrection, that there's something better on the other end, and that this isn't it? Do you focus more on enjoying this life or the next? That's a good question. I think about it. A lot of things that Christians should be doing, if there is no resurrection, it is a total waste. Like, why do we come on Sundays, you know? If you know, my time is limited, you know, I only have like 90 years to live, and every Sunday morning, that's a lot of time. You know, I could be doing that for something else and enjoying the here and now. But we believe this is good for the believers. Come together, we can spread the word of God, we worship together, and build up relationships to the last eternity, yada, 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 yada. So as Christians, in your life, do you focus on enjoying this life or the next life? Do you give up things in this world that don't last for things that will last in the future? Again, honestly, critically ask yourself. Don't just be like, oh, that's a good question, thanks. But honestly, when you go home, think about it. You know? And so, I mean, it's really important because Paul writes, bad company ruins good morals or good character. And the thing is that the way that you live your life as a more experienced Christian, you're sending a horrible, horrible message to other believers that are younger than you. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times it's church teaching. A lot of times it's, how about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? But in reality, the Bible is, what is our relationship with Jesus Christ too? It's, think about other believers as well. What is the message that you're sending to other believers? And my last point that I would like to make, Easter message, good to this, share the gospel. If you are not a believer, you will be resurrected, but for judgment. Come to accept God's gift. See, we believe that the resurrection doesn't just happen to Christians and believers. We believe there is a resurrection of the dead. Right? In Revelation, it says death will be spitting out all the dead bodies it has. But the problem with those people that resurrect, although they will have immortal bodies like ours, in the future, we believe that we'll be resurrected in immortal bodies that won't die. But the problem is that for those non-believers, we believe that they will also be resurrected in bodies that will not die. But the problem is that with us, we get to go to paradise with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit right there among our midst. But with non-believers, the problem is that their resurrection, their immortal bodies, will go to immortal punishment. You see, with us believers, when you get resurrected in immortal bodies, we get to spend that immortality in the presence of God. But non-believers, when they get resurrected, they will spend eternity in punishment. I mean, think about it. That's terrible, you know? And the thing is that if you're a non-believer, that's going to be your fate. As Christians, we believe in a resurrection of all the dead. It's just that one group will go into paradise and one group will go into punishment. And so don't think just because you come to church or just because you go to Sunday school or just because you do some Christian-y stuff that you're going to be there with us at the resurrection celebrating with God. So if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to go through that step. There's no point on waiting. You know, talk to me, talk to Pastor Jeff, talk to a deacon, I don't really care. Just talk to somebody who can help you out, who could tell you more and to guide you through this process if you're not saved. So just a quick, wrap up. Does your life deny or assert the resurrection? And again, I encourage you to honestly think about it. Don't just make this as, oh, it's a sermon, I'm going to forget about it later today. You know, I'm going to put this in my Bible and just put it on the shelf for next week. But honestly, think about it. Does your life deny or assert the resurrection? And I think it's important, too, for the little kids, the youth in here. How do you spread the message in your schools? How do you spread your message to your friends? Does your life deny or assert the resurrection in your schools? The way that you act, the way that you live, the things that you go for, the things that you're grabbing for in your life, the things that you really want, the things that you dream about, the things that you tell other people, I want this in my life. And what are the things that you celebrate? What are the things that you show, I have this in my life? Is it something that denies or asserts the resurrection? Number two, do you focus more on enjoying this life or the next? Is your life all about living it up now? Or do you actually give up stuff in the here and now because you got something better later on? You know, it'd be like, it's like, imagine going up to, you know, a little kid and saying, hey, I got some, you know, little kid's hungry, and you're like, hey, I got some, like, moldy potatoes right here, but, hey, you know, wait another hour, and we got some amazing sushi buffet, you know? The kid's like, eating the moldy potatoes. But I think that's kind of like us, though, you know what I mean? We live our life just getting the garbage, the things that don't last. But God says, hey, resurrection, man, we're going to have a wedding feast, and it's going to be awesome. God's going to be there, and it's going to be amazing. But a lot of us, we just grab this cheap garbage on the earth in comparison to the stuff that's there. And lastly, if you're not a believer, I encourage you to come forward because, again, it's an eternity. You know, it's not 80 years, 100 years, a million years. One of the scariest things I think about when I think about eternity for those who aren't saved is that human prison sentences always end. They might be ridiculous sounding, like 20 consecutive life sentences, but there will be one point in time where that guy's not in the prison anymore. He's not in that punishment. But the problem is that with non-believers, we believe that punishment is an eternal one. 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, billion years, trillion, so on, so on, so on. It's never going to end. So again, I encourage you to come forward and accept Christ while you still can. So honestly, think about it, you know, ponder it. I will be thinking about it too during the week as well. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Son to die on the cross, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing the resurrection to us, Lord, and giving us the hope of a brighter and better tomorrow. A better future spent eternally with you, Father, in the glorified bodies that you will give us. I pray that all of us, including myself, will take long, hard looks at ourselves and consider how we live our lives. Do we live our lives for this world or the next, Father? And I pray that you have the Spirit in our hearts that leads us to not waste our times with a lot of the trivialities of this life, but really invest honestly in the future life, Lord, that we can spread a good message, be good witnesses to your love and the resurrection that you've given us in the future, Father. And I pray that for any of those who don't know you, that they will come to know you, Lord. Move them, move their hearts, Lord, as only you can. That they may come forward and to just accept that just the ridiculously amazing gift that you've given us in the resurrection, Lord. And I just thank you again for all that you've done for us, Lord. And I look forward to seeing you in the future. In your Son's name I pray. Amen.